Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to kind of the exact same episode of Grey's Academy that you were just listening to. I am still one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your new hosts, Carmen. We replaced Carmen with Carmen.
Got rid of that motherfucker.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful day for a podcast. And thank you for listening back to back. This is an exciting time. We love this. And if you're listening to us on Christmas again, happy Christmas. And if there's any of the other holidays that you celebrate, just know that we celebrate them with you. Along with my neighbor who has a 12-foot inflatable snowman with a yarmulke on his head.
Amazing.
So happy Hanukkah.
I love that they make that.
Oh, me too. It's incredible. I've been seeing a lot more Hanukkah themed celebration decor. So I love that. So celebrate all of your friends' holidays.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to get right back into it. This is the 23rd episode of the third season. It is episode 59 overall. It is The Other Side of This Life Part 2. If you missed the song information, you can go back to the episode that you hopefully already listened to because this is Part 2. If you are somehow here before you've listened to Part 1, pause and go find Part 1 and listen and then come back. We will wait for you.
Unless this is like your favorite episode of all time, in which
then
case you're like,
you. Welcome.
I don't
go for it.
I don't want to listen to that other thing. That other thing was bullshit. This is better.
Part one is your least favorite Grey's episode, and part two is your favorite Grey's episode.
The rest of the show just falls in between that spectrum.
Same stats, written by Shonda, directed by Michael Grossman, aired May 3rd, 21.23 million views. I will read the Netflix synopsis because it is slightly different. There was like a small addition to what they blurbed on last time. So this is Addison takes a temporary leave from Seattle Grace and visits old friend in Los Angeles. Semicolon. Christina continues reluctantly to plan her wedding.
That is true. That is a plot point, and she does reluctantly do it. Also, it's worth noting that's kind of cool that every single person, statistically speaking, there could be some error in there somewhere, but every single person who saw part one was intrigued enough to say, yeah, I'll give part two a shot.
It's true. Seems like no one watched that first one and was like, I have to turn this off. This is disgusting. This is the worst thing I've ever seen on television.
Unless you're the one listener who that was your least favorite episode. Yeah. And now this is your best favorite episode.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do Shondaland now, since we don't have our song time and since we didn't do Shondaland last episode. So we will now take a moment for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! Boom, boom, boom. Christmas!
Oh, wow! that Christmas tag on the end there. Ooh, we love it. That was a beautiful
jingle,
surprise.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Ooh, it keeps going. Okay, so mostly these are people who obviously were in private practice. So I didn't include their private practice credit in this because they are main characters in private practice. So Paul Adelstein, who is Cooper.
Wait, hold on. Are there any that aren't in private practice that I need to guess? Like, are there any that it's...
There are two that are not main private practice people that are in Livin' with Shondaland. Two people, a man and a woman.
Okay, so go through the ones that you're about to, but save those two that I want to guess.
Okay, so Paul Adelstein plays Cooper, and he is in 18 episodes of Scandal in addition to his tenure on private practice. And he is very different on Scandal and very good. He's like kind of does what Olivia does, where he's like a fixer. He kind of like runs political campaigns. So like very high energy still, but like way more aggressive. It's fun to see. It's very different than Cooper.
Okay.
Christopher Lowell, who is Dell, the receptionist. He was in two episodes of Inventing Anna. If you'll recall, that is a Shondaland show.
That's the newest one.
Yes, that was the mini series on Netflix.
Got it.
And then we have two people, a man and a woman, who were not private practice regulars who are in Shondaland.
Okay. So I'm going to guess the no sex wife.
Because I told you that she's in Shondaland. Yes, that was a good guess.
Yep. And then the other one is going to be the husband, the one that the guy left for and he's now gay.
Yes.
What?
Yes. The one the one that left Carol because he said he came out as gay.
Yes. What? No fucking way.
Yeah, you got them both. Good job.
Wow. This is the first time this has happened.
Claps for Carmi.
I'd like to thank the Academy and everyone who could make this possible. I'd like to thank God and my friend Kelsey. She stood by me when I got all of them wrong for three straight seasons.
It's true. I did just let you be wrong all the time. I'm just all so right. used to
Hit
it.
Hit me with this information.
Cameron Watson played Rick, which was Carol's husband who left her because he was gay. And he was in one episode of Scandal. And Bellamy Young is Kathy, who was the no sex wife. And I will say she is in one other episode of Private Practice as the same character. And then she is in 124 episodes of Scandal because she is a main character in Scandal and she's one of my favorite characters.
Oh, she's a main character in Scandal?
Mm-hmm.
For the whole show?
Yep, the entire
show. Okay. Okay, all right. Now, between that and the girl who plays Olivia Pope, this is looking like a show that we're going to have to add to. Maybe that's the Patreon content. It's now we add all this other shit to the mix.
Gotta just keep watching TV like it's our fucking jobs.
Soon it will be.
Fingers crossed. Okay, so again, no recap. 4 minutes ago on Grey's Anatomy, you're watching it. Okay.
In case you forgot, Addison can't drive a stick shift.
Addison is still in LA. She and Naomi are sitting in the lobby. And Addison is like, what are we doing? Like, I thought we were going to lunch. And Naomi says, we are going to do what I do when I'm sad. And Violet comes over and is like, what time is it? And she's like 5 to 1. And they're like, what the hell? Like, what's happening? And then Dell comes by in a bathing suit with a surfboard because he uses his lunch break to go and surf. Is he very cute? Yes. Is this a little too much? Also, yes.
It is just so, this episode I wrote inappropriate a lot in my notes.
Yeah.
Why, first off, just don't walk through the office completely topless. Number one. Number two, he's not that attractive. He's attractive comparatively to, like, probably a normal person, but he's not so attractive that there's three grown-ass women just oogling this guy. And also, Naomi, if you think he's hot, just get some and do it.
Yeah. This is,
he's
I will
clearly
say
into you.
I will say he cuts his hair in private practice and he looks so much better because his current floppy surfer boy haircut makes him look very, very young. And when he gets a grown up haircut, he looks like a grown up.
Yeah, I was not a fan of his hair. It didn't look good.
It was very like, I feel like, of the times and of the California. Ava, back in Seattle, has a brain bleed and she needs awake brain surgery due to the location of the brain bleed. There is a chance that it could bring her memory back, and she's very, very excited. And everyone's like, don't get your hopes up. It also might not. And she's like, but it might.
Yeah, actually, I think Derek's exact words was, it almost certainly will not, you dumb bitch.
Like, verbatim.
Verbatim.
Susan is back. She has a fever and a heart murmur. And they are going to run some tests, see what's what, and see, probably give her antibiotics, because that's what we do for a lot of things, because antibiotics are sometimes very helpful. Ava is walking with Alex, and he's like, oh, it's okay to be nervous. And she's like, I am not nervous. Like, I need this to give me my memory back. I am so excited about remembering who I am. Clearly,
it's
not going to give her memory back because she's too excited about getting her memory back.
Yeah. Yeah. It is also a bummer because in this scene, they also touch on, like, she hasn't even held her baby. Like, that's, and I forgot about that part of this. I forgot she gave birth.
Yeah.
And it was a preemie and it's in the NICU and all that. So, like, I forgot about that storyline. I'm glad they just mentioned that offhand as well to bring that back to the top of our memory.
So back in LA, Paul has a hormone imbalance. So he won't, like, that's why he can't have sex, not necessarily that he doesn't want to have sex. But they don't know what is causing the hormone imbalance. So they have to run more tests to make a treatment plan and find out what the cause is. Addison goes to see Pete, who is the alternative medicine doctor in this practice. He acupunctures the shit out of her.
After just calling him a quack for, like, and doubling down, she's like, hey, you're the quack. This is the quack's office. Yep. And then, yeah, that was funny. Also, if anyone ever acupunctured me without my consent, I would sue. I would rage. Don't do that to me.
I have had the needles. It was technically not acupuncture because acupuncture is based on pressure points, relieving certain pressures and energy and, like, getting your body to release tension in certain, like, emotional ways in addition to physically. I have had what is called dry needling, but is basically the same as acupuncture. Like, physically, like, the needles are the same. But I just, like, because I have horrendous posture, I get really bad knots in my back. And so I have had the needles stuck into the knots that I have, and it helps, like, ooh, it tenses them up and then it helps them release. And it really, like, when he said, stop saying, ow, it doesn't hurt. Like, that's pretty accurate. It really, like, you can feel them, but, like, it doesn't even feel like a shot. They're so tiny. Like, it's hard to explain it. Like, the second, like, you feel that they have gone in, but you're like, the pressure of them going into the knots in my back was more painful than the actual needle going into my skin.
I put acupuncture up there with cupping. I might try it once just to see what it's like.
Yeah.
But it's not that I have anything against alternative medicine. I actually have things against most medicine. I don't go to the doctor unless I physically have to. When it came to Marlo, I trust everything the doctor says. But I just don't want – I haven't gotten antibiotics in 4 or 5 years, and I just – there's nothing that a glass of orange juice can't cure, in my opinion.
Well.
Unless I – if I break a bone, I'm going to the doctor. If I start peeing pus, I'm going to the doctor. Also, if I start peeing pus, there's a lot more problems than just the doctor. But it's things like that that I'm – skeptical of. So it's not just alternative medicine, but I like that there's nothing that they're putting into your body. That's one of the things I've always appreciated about some of that alternative medicine. And I like it, just adds a very California layer to this show of they have a doctor on site who's acupuncture and I forget what the other things that he said that he did as well, but I actually really appreciated this level that they added to the show. Makes it more intriguing.
Yeah. And I like that they said, yeah, he still went to medical school. Like, he still has an MD. He just has also studied other places. And, like, there are other things. And they make a point in the show, like, because they really harp on the fact that it's a co-op practice. So they work together. So some of his patients will maybe also be seeing Sam or Violet or whoever it may be. But they also come to him because they want to make sure everyone's getting, like, a well-rounded treatment plan and making sure everyone's getting things that will work for them to solve whatever it is they need treated. Also, so when Addison, he's like, oh, you're going to get feel a release of emotions. And she's like, I don't feel anything. I'm great. And she kept saying, I'm great. And I was like, this is like when Carmen says he's healed.
That's because I am.
I'm healed. I wrote, I'm great equals I'm healed. And then obviously she cries. She's like, I don't feel anything. And then she cries. And then she's get the, like, title card.
I'm great, but I'm barren.
Yeah.
Like, gosh, there's the rush of emotion.
So title card at 7 minutes and 25 seconds. Derek finds Meredith and she's like, oh, I've been talking to my father. It's crazy. It's like actually going pretty well. How's the trailer? He's like, it's cold. Can I come to your house? I'll bring dinner. Whatever.
And she's like, sex.
Yeah. So they're going to get back to hanging out because he's going to stop being a poo-poo pants. Quote unquote, stop. Lisa goes into labor and Addison rushes her to the hospital because she has to do a C-section because they know the chances of her bleeding and being injured are great. So they have to get to the hospital right away to take care of that. Pete goes into Violet's office. They talk about her ex being the worst. And he's like, why won't you sleep with me? And she's like, you're in denial and you're the angriest person I've ever met. And you use sex as a weapon to deflect. And he goes, oh. And it reminded me a lot of conversations we have had where I'm just like, oh, you're garbage. And you go, oh.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good scene. I like that.
Yeah.
It's they're making these characters interesting enough to where I want to watch the show. But part of why I'm not 100% sold on it. I mean, I'm going to watch it. We're going to do this. But I don't love any of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one that I loved right away.
Right.
I
mean, it's hard, I feel like, to introduce someone in a different show to make you immediately be like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this person.
Right. Which I'm going to acknowledge is hard. And also, I don't think even in this show, I loved Izzy right away because I like Katherine Heigl. But Izzy is not my favorite character anymore. So I'm trying to think, okay, well, who could my favorite character be? Probably would end up being Cooper because I've had experience with him from Scrubs. But none of the characters other than that are, like, really standing out to me. But I digress.
No, it's fair. It's fair. So in Ava's brain surgeries, they're poking around in her brain trying to see what's what. And she speaks three different languages. So she speaks French, German, and Spanish, which is wild. Imagine being able to speak three languages in addition to English.
And then forgetting it.
I can barely speak English.
Yeah. Okay.
hey. So she starts crashing. The bleed is getting worse, so they have to evacuate that. And she cuts out. It's dramatic.
She still needs a dentist, though.
Yes, they'll work on it. Don't worry. Addison delivers Lisa's baby really fast. They don't want her to push. And she's like, oh, you want me to push? And they're like, no. And she's like, I have to. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
this was a chaotic scene.
Again, I had an epidural, so I can't speak to what she was feeling because she was actually feeling it. I did not. Thank God.
The cord was also not around your baby's neck.
Very true. And I am very lucky that everything was mostly smooth sailing both times. So they're like, okay, here's the baby. Took her a minute to start to cry, but she did cry. And then Addison's like, oh, good news. There's not a lot of bleeding. And then there's literally all the bleeding. All of your body is now on the floor.
Yeah, this should be okay. It looks fine. To now imagine you're in hell and all waterfalls are just blood. Yeah, that's what truly happened.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, oh, cool. Not so bad. I can take care of this. And then it's like, oh, shit. I don't know how this is going to end.
Yeah, but it was nice when the baby started crying. It was obviously like a sigh of relief, I think, as a viewer.
Yeah, and she puts her under so that she can save her. Then Addison goes to update all the people. And she's like, they're stable, they're going to be okay. But like, it was bad. It was not great for a while. And they're like, well, who's the dad? Who gets the baby? And she's like, okay, so I'm going to take this opportunity to shame you all for being garbage people, because you could not be more selfish. These people both almost just died and you don't even care. And you can't see them because you all suck so much.
Yeah. Which I appreciate, you pieces of shit. This was the scene that I was mixing up with the last episode.
Yes.
Because and then she's also like, hey, by the way, motherfuckers, it was a girl. Not that any of you pieces of shit asked, which that would have been, I always forget that that's a thing that people did. And it's mostly like the older generations, like our parents, like going all the way to birth, not knowing if it's a boy or girl. That would bring me so much stress.
What do we buy?
Because I want to know, I love being able to have the
monogram
custom clothing. And you know me, I think that all clothing and all colors are unisex, man or woman.
Yes.
I don't care. But it just not knowing. Like, I was talking to Marlo by name when she was in Jessica. And I can't imagine just saying, oh, hello, little ambiguous, you have no name, man or woman child. Yeah. I can't imagine that. That just is weird to me. If you do it, I'm not shaming you out there listening. Do whatever you want. I know plenty of people still to this day, even our age, that want the surprise. I need to know.
Yeah. And also people are like, oh, I need it to be a surprise. Here's the thing. I was surprised when they told me both times. It was just, was I surprised early in pregnancy or at the birth?
Right. It's still a surprise.
It's the same amount of surprise. It's just when you receive the surprise.
Yeah.
That's
and if you're me, you get a text from your wife while making your lunch to leave for work with just a screenshot of the bio test, and it's circled in highlighter from your iPhone. Sex, female.
So romantic.
Surprise.
Well, Michael was at work when I got the call with Scarlett. So I called him and he was like, couldn't answer because he was on a call. So he texted me. He was, oh my God, did the doctor call you? And I said, yes. And so he basically was like, sorry, I can't help you, and hung up on the person and then went to call me. And then I told him. And then he was there, and you and Jessica were also there when we got the call for Bennett.
Yeah, that was exciting. What a surprise it was.
It was a surprise. Ava wakes up. She does not remember anything, and she's very, very sad about it, which I understand. Like, she was basically hanging all of her hopes on this one thing that had a very slim chance of working. But she, like, what else is she gonna do? Her other option is just like, hope my memory comes back.
Well, that's what everyone else is saying. Like, just hope it comes back, because nothing is gonna guarantee it.
George is laying in a clinic bed, and Bailey's like, the fuck are you doing? You're fine. Go take a Tylenol. And he's like, you've been married for a long time. Did you ever have doubts? Not like insecurities, like doubts. And she just stares at him, and then a nurse comes over before she can answer, and she leaves.
doesn't even say, let's put a pin in this. She completely ignores the question.
She's like, I'm gonna head out. Thanks for your time. Susan is feeling better, and they're going to take her to radiology so they can put like a central line in to finish the IV. And she's like, oh, why don't you show your dad where the cafeteria is. And they're like, we're on to you. Also, at this point, it really seems like she's fine. So
it yeah.
takes a turn.
Everything seems okay, except Weber coming in the room and completely ignoring and not saying a single word to Thatcher. That was a bit uncomfortable. But,
and they don't even make it like Thatcher doesn't even look annoyed, which I feel like he would be like, ugh, this fucker.
Yeah, I remember when you ruined my first marriage? You're going to ruin this second one, too.
Not wrong. Different ways.
This man is the source of all of my problems.
So yikes on bikes. It's so true. Okay, so Burke is also hiding in the clinic, and he's like, you've been married a long time now to Bailey. And she's like, what is wrong with the men in this hospital? So she calls George over, and she's like, y'all go talk to each other and leave me the fuck alone. I'm trying to do my damn job. So that's very funny. And Cooper in LA, Cooper's in the kitchen, heavy sighing, trying to get people to ask him what's wrong.
This is... If there's ever been more Carmen energy in a character on this show.
So true.
That was, I was like, this is so funny. This is hilarious.
He's like, I just don't understand why all the women I meet on the internet aren't my soulmates. And they're like, maybe because you're meeting like 22-year-old women on the internet and you're an adult. So like, get it together and go meet real people in real life. Now, obviously, this is 2007. There's like... I think the stigma of meeting people online or on apps is falling away over time. This also seems less like a match.com and more like a chat room situation. So understandable that he's receiving a little bit of judgment. But yeah, so it's just a funny scene. And they're like, just go meet real people and like try your best. In life.
Yeah, try real websites like farmersonly.com. This try episode is brought to you
places.
By farmers.
Farmersonly.com. Good stuff. Okay, so Pete finds Addison in the hospital and tries to flirt, and she's like, don't flirt with me. I am out of time and out of eggs, and I don't have the patience for your bullshit. And he's like, I'm going to kiss you now. She's like, okay. And then they really kiss.
They mouth fuck.
They really kiss. Like, it's almost like they went to ABC and they were like, how aggressive can we kiss and you still show it? And they were like, to this point. And then they went right up to that point.
And then they said, but we can go farther,
but
right,
we can
ABC?
Just, you guys look away and we're going to do a little bit extra.
And ABC said, look, not my monkey, not my circus. If I don't actually watch this episode, we're all okay.
ABC said, you guys are two of the most attractive people on television, so you can basically do whatever you want.
Just no nipples.
Yep.
Unless so, you're a male receptionist, in which case we could show your nipples.
Nipples galore. So Susan is having some kind of bad reaction. They say it's super rare. And they are going to have to take her to surgery. Thatcher's freaking out, not handling it well, shockingly enough. So they take her up to the OR. Is that now or is that later?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Because I don't have that scene here.
All I have is Susan is having a reaction.
She's having a reaction, but... she's not septic yet.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. That's what it is. Carol finds Addison and tells her, she's like, I wanted a baby. I don't care if it's my baby. I don't care if I get to keep the baby, but I want to know that this baby is okay because I love this baby. And like, is she okay? Is Lisa okay? Like, you were right. I was being shitty. Like, are they okay? And Addison says, yes, they're okay. Burke and George are talking about marriage and knowing people and time together, and it's an interesting scene. I'm
really
excited
weird.
To see what the fuck you think they're thinking, because George says, do you think it's possible to love two people at the same time? To which Preston responds, I'm still hoping it's possible to love one person. What?
Yeah.
What are you implying, that you don't love Christina or that she doesn't love you? I'm very confused.
We all, if you've listened, unless this is your favorite episode and you're tuning in for the first time for this episode, we all know that I think that Christina and Burke don't end up together. I also don't think that George and Callie end up together. So this scene to me, and also paired it with a little bit of hindsight of the Burke and his mom scene towards the end of the episode, which was also kind of weird in itself, and we'll get to that later. I feel like Burke is talking himself out of marrying Christina. And George is still trying to figure out, I think in his head, he's not a cheater if he leaves Callie and he's with Izzy. So is it more important to not be a cheater or to honor the person that you've married? And I think that that's the inner conflict that George is going through. And I don't think he ends up with either of them. I don't think. But the Burke one to me is a bit more concerning because Christina has changed a lot of what she wants for Burke. And
yeah. And is.
And is, yeah. And I don't see Burke changing a lot, except he throws a lot of ultimatums around. He doesn't actually do anything. So that was a weird scene in general for me, but it left with just such this weird cliffhanger of,
yeah, there's no actually wanting to be with
Christina. So,
yeah.
But if he didn't want Christina, then he wouldn't go through the trouble of getting the moms out there and like being so sweet and all these things that he is to Christina. I think he wants his cake and to eat it too. And I just don't know what that manifests itself in a physical form.
Yeah.
What thoughts did you have on the scene? Any additional ones?
Pretty similar. I'm just like, where are you coming from? Like, what do you mean when, like, I was mostly fixated on the, I'm still hoping it's possible to just love one. I'm like, again, do you not love her or do you think she doesn't love you? Like, what does that mean? I'm still hoping it's possible to love one person.
I think it's all from a him standpoint. I don't think it's from a her standpoint.
And then also I found it interesting that he's like, oh, did you need to George? He says, did you find that you needed more persuading to get married? And he's like, no, just seemed like a good idea at the time. What a reason to make a huge life altering decision.
Well, we did acknowledge that
idea at the time.
After his dad died, he was obviously going through a lot.
Truly.
So we knew that he kind of made this choice under some form of duress.
Yeah, but it was like coming from himself, not anyone else.
Yes, correct.
Because Callie was very pro, like, please, for the love of God, process your grief. And he was very pro, I will only have sex and then marry you. Thank you so much for your time. So yeah, it's just kind of weird. Obviously I know what happens on both of these ends and I still kind of think this is weird. So I don't know if that tells you anything. This scene, I don't feel like gains that much clarity when these stories culminate in however they're going to culminate.
Both of them dying.
Which thems?
All four of them dying in a skydiving accident.
Oh my God, how do you do that? It's like perfect prediction. Like, oh my God. It's like Shonda is sitting in front of me.
She is. She's on the couch over there. Hi, Cassie.
Oh my gosh, Shonda, it's such an honor.
No, the honor is all mine.
Thank you so much for coming by.
She sounds far away because she's over on the couch on the other side of the
room. Right. Okay. So Callie asks Izzy, like, hey, is it going to be weird with me being a bridesmaid? And Izzy's like, no, we're fine. Everything's fine. And she's like, okay, cool, fine. But she's got the side eye still.
She's got the side eye, yes.
And then Christina comes over and she's like, that last dress wasn't bad, right? Because I bought it. Like, it's fine. It's not too poofy. It's just one day. It doesn't fucking matter, right? Like, it's fine. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Bye.
Good talk. Glad I could help.
They tell Paul they found a tumor on his kidney and that's causing his hormone imbalance and his low sex drive. Unfortunately, it's like pretty farther progressed. So they're going to have to like be really aggressive with this treatment. And It's sad news for everyone. Kathy feels bad. But also, it's like, how would you know? Like, if your spouse just stopped having sex with you, your first thought is not going to be like, they probably have a tumor.
Mine would be.
It's just not going to be. And now it will be.
Yeah, now it is. I'm like, listen, you don't want to have sex with me? Let's get you a full body scan right now. Yeah.
Addison is in the elevator trying to talk to elevator god again. She answers. She apologizes for yelling at her. Kathy is talking to Violet about everything going on with Paul, and she's like, for my whole life I've been really good at being Paul's wife, and like, this happened and I've just been questioning everything. Also, I lied, I did cheat on him, and like, now I don't know what to do. He's sick, like, what am I supposed to do? And Violet's like, you just keep doing what you're really good at. It's a good scene. I think it's a good little like quick therapy type of Violet's therapy, brand of therapy that she does.
Well, it's also encouraging because in the, was it either in the beginning of this episode or the last episode? I'm already blurring these together, where she starts to feel like her,
it's
her
this
type
one,
of
when,
therapy
when she's talking like, to Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I feel like it's obsolete, and it's, mm-hmm. it's clearly not, because the emotional is so big. The emotional side of thing is so big on these patients. So obviously it's helping. Yeah. But the thing that's sad about this is this lady said the only thing she's been good at her entire life is being this guy's wife. So were you good at nothing before that? Did you really feel like you had no purpose in life until you met this person and then married them?
I mean, or maybe she just means to say like, that's what she is the best at. Like, she is the best at being this man's. Like, she could do other things, but she doesn't feel that she needs to do other things because she is so set in her resolve of like being Paul's wife. I don't necessarily I think it's only sad if you want more than that. If you don't want any more than that, props to you. You know, like, you're doing the thing you love and you're doing the thing you're good at, and that's fulfilling enough for you, then that's fine. There are plenty of people who are fulfilled by things that I would not be fulfilled by, and there are plenty of people who would not be fulfilled by things I find fulfilling. So I think it's just, also in that conversation with Pete, he says like, people should just tell each other the truth, and Violet says they can't. And then I find that interesting because she doesn't tell Kathy like, oh, you need to come clean with Paul about this cheating. She's just saying like, go back to being Paul's wife because that's what you're good at, and that's what's going to help him through this fucking nightmare that you're about to go through.
Yeah, it's true. But also, don't cheat. But also,
there's no black and white. There are gray areas. Affairs don't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah. I think that she did much better than most people in her resolve for 18 months.
Yeah.
Operating under the assumption that she hadn't cheated up until that night where she didn't come home.
Yes. Which she does lead us to believe when she's talking to Sam and like freaking out about not having sex for 18 months.
Yeah. And also, you have to assume that they're going to get through that. Like, there was a medical issue that neither of them saw. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop loving her. But again, it goes back to, at the end of the day, people are just
people,
animals. People are just people and people are animals.
Mm-hmm. Human beings make mistakes.
Yeah.
So then, Del is leaving and like asks Naomi if she wants to get food, and she's like, no. And he goes, oh, some other time then. And she's like, you cannot ask me out. You are a child. You could be my child. Leave me alone. I will not fuck you.
And then he's like, a cuckoo ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson.
And then they go in for their almost kiss, and she leans in and she's like, never gonna happen.
Oh, it happens. They fuck.
You think they fuck?
Yeah. Official prediction. Yeah. Also, can we just acknowledge that not a single, like, all I need is for Fred Armisen and Andy Samberg and all the SNL people to come in with their California, Bill Hader with their Californians impressions. Like, they're not a single person talked about any highway on this episode. And if you don't know, pause this episode and go Google YouTube search SNL, the Californians, and it is so good. It will make you die. Or Kristen Wiig was the other one I was trying to think of. And I will be watching that after we are done recording.
So then we have Addison out with Pete and Sam, and Sam, he like Pete's hitting on her again, and Sam sends him away and then tells Addison, like, don't date him. His wife died 8 years ago and it has impacted his ability to have genuine human connection with other people. And she's like, oh, good to know.
Because he killed her.
And then Pete and, sorry, wait. Yeah, Violet and Cooper are at the bar and he like leans to kiss her and she's like, are you kidding me? This is how you deal with this? That just the first person that's in front of you is you being an adult. Just the first person that's in front of you. That's your reaction to someone on the internet rejecting you is just to fuck, try and fuck the first person, even though it's your best friend. That's what you're going to do.
That was a funny scene.
It was.
Because she rejected him, but she was also like, dude.
We good?
Like,
we good? Cool.
Yeah, we're okay here. Like, kosher. They fuck, though. They're going to have sex at one point.
Naomi is drunk, and Addison asks Sam if he cheated on her, and he's like, no, I didn't cheat on her. We didn't fight. I just woke up one day, and I was like, I think I'm done being married. And he was like, that's bad. I did a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, Tay Diggs.
He's like, I left her, and I don't know why. I'm like, you should probably know why. If you left someone you're married to and have a child with, I feel like you should know why. Not saying you should stay in something if you're unhappy, but at least like do a little bit of reflective work. Look on the inside, figure out what the hell you're doing before you just do it.
Yeah. There's also a therapist right next to your office door. You could walk out of your office and try to get some clarity or talk through your feelings and emotions. And you chose to not do that.
Yeah. Violet tells Cooper about Alan getting married. He had always told her he didn't believe in marriage as an institution. And then 4 months after they broke up, he got married to like a 25-year-old. And Cooper's like, I like the internet because I don't like rejection. Okay, do people not reject you on the internet? I don't really understand that, but whatever. Oh my God, this next scene is so good. Bert goes home. His mom is looking at wedding planning stuff, the magazines. He gets super upset and he's like, that I trust you crap. You've been pulling it since I was a kid. It's manipulative. You don't trust me. You're trying to make me question everything I think and feel. And he's like, I love Christina. She doesn't like change. I have to take the lead in the relationship. And then later she's like grateful that I did it. It happened multiple times already. And it's going to be fine. We're both I'm going to be happy. She's going to be happy. We will both be happy. And the mom's like, if you are so sure, why are you yelling at me?
And it is just the question that all of us have on our minds, because it was very like, I'm yelling at you. You're the problem. Christina's great. Everything's awesome. And I'm like, okay, I was confused by the whole scene.
Yeah.
Although it is nice to see him, like, I think they have a good relationship, but she also didn't deny that the trust thing of saying, mm-hmm, I trust you is a manipulative thing. And also if your parents are encouraging you to make decisions and fail and they still love you, that actually sounds like good parenting, Preston. Yeah. So like, calm down, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's they have an odd relationship. I think that was established last time. The fact that he's a grown man calling her mama, I think takes one aback. Gives pause just for a moment. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just not the norm that we're used to, especially if you were to talk to someone like Preston Burke. I don't think you would. He seems like the type of person who calls his mom mother. Mother.
Or like, have you watched Big Bang Theory?
Occasionally, not like intensely.
So
casual viewing.
Leonard, who is played by,
that's
the
one
guy
whose mom lives there.
But
you like only ever hear her voice.
No, she comes on the show. She does come on
Leonard,
the show.
Leonard, I'm thinking of the other one.
Well, the other one, Sheldon, his mom
no,
also
not Sheldon,
comes by.
The other one.
I forget the rest of the other guys' names, but Sheldon's mom is, either it's the voice of Smart House slash Jake Peralta's mom, or it's Roseanne's sister. I can't remember which one it is because they both look very similar to me. But Leonard's mom is the Queen Who in
Martha May
the Grinch. Yes. And I imagine, yes, I imagine Leonard and his mom's relationship, I kind of see it more like what Burke's relationship is how you're describing, where he, I don't know, I feel like he would use he'd be on a first name basis. Like Burke seems like kind of person who's on a first name basis with his mom.
Ellen, nice to see you again.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's her name. I just said that.
I get what you're saying though. That's how I envisioned it.
Yeah.
So the mama thing also is a stark contrast to what I perceive as well. So I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. So this is when Susan gets septic. They rush her to surgery. Super rare complication. She crashes before they even get into the OR. It's bad news bears. Like, what did you think was going to happen? First of all, did you think Susan was going to die?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. What? Yeah. Like, no way.
And
she
it sucks
just 'cause
everything's finally going well.
Yes, Meredith just got a fucking family.
Yep.
And then Susan dies. And she's the person who just called her out. Like, she just had the balls to say, Meredith, stop being a rude, mean girl. Like, we are trying to love you. And Meredith was like, oh, you're right. I will do that. And
I she's will trying learn to build this interaction.
Yes. And oh my gosh, I literally wrote, she can't die, though. Like, she can't. They wouldn't be that dumb. Plot twist, they're that dumb.
Shonda's setting up some stuff.
She's doing something.
So they take Lisa the baby, and they're like, you don't have to decide right now. And she's like, no, I know what I want to do. I want Carol to have the baby, but I want everyone involved in the baby's life. So it's kind of like an open adoption situation, but kind of bizarre for the baby.
It's like the opening scene to Mamma Mia.
Almost.
Because they never know who the dad is, and they're all just, they all have dads. And her dad ends up being James Bond, Bootstrap Bill Turner, and some other guy.
Colin Firth, the king of England.
Yes.
With the stutter. It's a time. Izzy gets on the elevator. George is there. She's like, I don't want you to leave. It's not fair. She says it's not fair like 68 times. She starts to cry. She gives him a hug for comfort. They kiss. I'm annoyed. It's inappropriate. They have all caps. No chemistry.
They have chemistry.
This kiss is disgustingly platonic.
No. This kiss is hot and steamy in a sexual, non-platonic way.
More. Like, I just don't, I truly don't think that. Like, I know I like to disagree with you just for fun, but I really, really don't think they have any chemistry.
I'm trying to think of what this reminds me of, but it was definitely one of those things where the second they hugged, like, their cheeks were just a bit too close. And something was going to happen, and we all had a feeling, and we're all disappointed. And then the elevator opens up, and of course, Callie is right there.
Not a good look.
No.
And George just, like, plows off the elevator without even acknowledging that Izzy's there. Callie's wheels are turning.
They are.
She's connecting
for sure
those dots. Alex is walking with Ava outside and tells her that some people would, you know, love to have this opportunity to blank slate. Like, you can make new memories. Like, look how pretty the moon is. And she's like, what the fuck happened to you that you can be so good with me, but not be good with someone you actually have feelings for? And he's like, I don't remember.
I also got killed by a fairy and have no imagination of what my memories were. Recollection. Why did I say imagination?
Also, sorry.
Stupid.
At this point, I feel like Alex is the person we know the least about as far as backstory and, like, outside of the hospital lives. Of the interns, Alex is the one we know the least about his history.
I think you're right. Yeah. I believe that that is my perception as well. I had to think about that for a second just to confirm. Yes.
Thank you.
Also, what a terrible, terrible shot of the moon and the stars.
You mean what it's a like terrible Google image?
It's like one of the creators or actors on the set had a kid who did an art project on like a really old version of Microsoft Art Studio Pad, and they just printed it out and they zoomed the camera in on that. That's how terrible that was.
Yeah, it's not great. I will say in Private Practice, there are some pretty aggressive green scene things. And I'm like, you're in LA. Why are you green screening this?
Yeah, it makes no sense sometimes. But that's the thing that studios choose to or choose not to spend their money on is just beyond me.
Yeah. So, okay, Richard, Bailey, and Meredith go to the waiting room because they get to tell Thatcher that Susan died. Why Meredith is the one that has to deliver this news is beyond me. I don't know whose decision it was. Seems unwise. Someone at least could have gone to stand next to her. I don't know. Seems weird.
Just, I don't just know, stand she was next like, to her.
He's my dad. I'll tell him we've been bonding. He'll be fine. Did not go down that way.
That was not fine.
What happened. No one was fine. Not that anyone should be fine. But you shouldn't slap your people, your doctors, or your anybody's, regardless of who they are. Just don't. Meredith is crying. She's like, I'm so sorry. He slaps her. He's like, we came here because she trusted you. It was just the hiccups. What the hell happened? So, yeah, it's sad. Meredith runs away. Derek tries to stop her. And I'm like, can you, like, I'm sorry. I'm not on Derek. Like, Derek should try and comfort her. You can give her at least 5 minutes to process this. At least 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Susan just died, and then she had to tell her dad, and he slapped her and/blamed her. You can give her a few minutes to process individually before you step in and say, how can I help you? But he needs to step in immediately so that she can be like, leave me alone, so he can be like, oh, well, I guess she hates me again.
I just need to go to my trailer and process what just happened, Meredith.
Yeah,
when you killed your stepmom, you also killed me.
You don't understand what happened to me when your dad slapped you. You'll never understand how that made me feel.
You'll never know how hard it was to watch you get slapped.
I can't.
Okay,
also,
so first
none
off,
of them do anything. That also bothers me. Bailey, Richard, and Derek, none of them do anything when that happens.
Yeah, there was a collective, and that was it. They just, they gasped and watched.
The air gets sucked out of the room.
Yeah. I want to talk about a couple of things that I have that are my thoughts for this scene. Number one, Thatcher's reaction and response is incredible acting.
Yes.
Number one, all of it makes sense. Imagine your husband, your wife, goes to the hospital for hiccups and comes out dead.
Mm-hmm.
And your child is the doctor on the case. I can't even imagine that scene in like real life, right? Like, this is crazy. But he's like, as he's going through all of these emotions in his head, and obviously the slapping is not okay, but you understand it.
Yes.
You can understand
the train to get there. I'm like, I understand where that came from, but it's bad.
It's bad. It's terrible. Physical violence is never the answer, but at least you can understand what's going on in this person's head, because I don't know that many people are above not doing that in that moment. Granted, it's a doctor. Don't hit your doctors. That's not an advocacy for hitting doctors. But he's like, you said it was simple. She trusted you. And he's completely breaking down that the woman he got to spend all those years with after being left by his previous wife, because you have to think that she's the complete opposite of Ellis.
Yeah, she's the anti-Ellis.
Yes. And at one point they even said, oh, I think they're just trying to, I think she just has the fake hiccups because she wants us to bond.
Yeah.
No, this really was a medical thing and she died. But fuck, there's so much emotion in this scene and I can't even imagine it. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, but it's just sad. I don't think really you can explain it any other way than it's just fucking sad.
Yeah. on more levels than just Susan has died, because they were just getting together. They were like, she was having a family again. Now the main bond of that family has died and the other person is blaming her for it. So it's not just like, oh, this one person that we all love and care for has died. Like, there's the ramifications of Susan's death are far reaching.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers to this scene. And it, and we as viewers, myself, not you, because you know, but myself, I have no idea what comes next at all. Because if Meredith was just getting to a point where she could envision a world where she trusts and loves and cares for and wants to have a relationship with her father, is this enough? And is it early enough on to them building that bridge where she's like, I don't give a fuck about this bridge. He just slapped the shit out of me in the hospital, in my place of employment, in front of my boyfriend and like my two bosses.
Yeah.
But realistically, Bailey should have been the one giving the news. Yeah. It makes no sense. So those are my full thoughts, but it was very... The acting is great, but not only was Susan's death a shock, but then the slap was also a shock on top of shock.
The slap is jarring every
time. I had to watch it three times.
I hate this.
I didn't even process right away if it was a real slap. I was like, did I just make that up in my head?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bonkers. Okay, so Christina gets home. Burke's like, the moms are gone. It's just us. And she's like, thank God. She's like, oh, I got a dress. He's like, oh, are you happy? She's like, yeah, of course. Are you happy? He's like, yeah. But is it true?
Bum, bum, bum.
What is happening?
There's a place on us and I've found it.
Meredith, Izzy, and Alex are doing shots.
Setting up a threesome.
Derek comes up and sees them doing shots through the window and he leaves because he's like, oh, I'm going to leave and then somehow blame this on somebody else. Because that's what I do and I don't apologize. That's Derek's theme song.
That's incredible.
So Addison is telling Naomi goodbye and she's like, consider the empty office. And Addison says, don't tempt me. Pete runs into the elevator and she tells him that the elevator talks to her. And he's like, it's Tilly, our security lady. Which is funny.
And she's like, hello, I see you.
He asks Addison if she wants to kiss her again. And she's like, I think not. Thanks, though. I'm not interested. And he says, you're interested. And then she drives the convertible back to Seattle. And that's the end of the episode.
And she seems to have learned how to drive stick. And
it seems better this time. Yeah.
Yeah, she went in there with a little do up in her hair. She's got it figured out. It holds it all in place. Is that an old Volkswagen Bug?
I don't know what it is.
If you know what car that is, let us know. Reach out to us at graysacademypod@gmail.com and let us know, because we don't know.
We don't know. Okay, so first rate it and then we have to make more predictions.
Okay. I'm going to give this episode a fellow. I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh my God. Same. An even fellow. Better than the last. Not life changingly amazing, but like it's impactful for sure. Like some shit has gone down. We don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But something's happening. So yeah, I would say a 4, a fellowy 4. Okay, so there are 2 episodes left of the third season. 2 episodes left. What do you think?
Well, let's rate these together.
Oh, okay, yes. So as a little movie.
As a little movie, I think I'm going to just be a little bit below the fellow. I think I'm going to put it at a resident 0.75. I think the second episode raised the average for me, but I don't think that 2 of them together was above the four mark, the one to five scale, reaching at a 4. But I do enjoy the dynamic that Addison has with Naomi. I like that there's a little bit of interesting backstory with this Pete guy. The Cooper and Violet chemistry is interesting as their friends. I kind of hate Del, but the big storyline for me is, I think, a gigantic question mark, and not in a fun way, not a fun question mark. Susan is dead.
Like a what the fuck?
They just killed Susan, and I just don't enjoy that.
Which is more surprising, killing Susan or the bomb? Obviously the bomb is more jarring in the way that it happened, because it was a bomb, but like, this is pretty big too. This is like an emotional bomb.
I think for me, they're equally jarring, but the Susan thing is more sad.
Well, because, for sure more sad, because it's more impactful.
Yeah, it's more impactful.
There's more foundation.
And it's maybe it's traumatic in a different way, because Meredith physically sees the dude explode in front of her and like cracks her head on that tile floor.
Yeah.
But this death, I think a piece of Meredith is going to die, because mm-hmm. this is the only person that was really pushing her to feel like she had a real family. And I think she's also going to feel guilty, even though she did nothing wrong, but she's going to carry that guilt for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. So I would agree. I think I am on like a resident 0.8. Like I'm very glad that they aired together, because I think if these had aired separately, people would have been real annoyed after the first one. I think having them air together makes sense. It gives them enough time to introduce the characters for Private Practice, and also continue meaningful storylines on Grey's. I think it's good. I like it. Obviously, again, I love Private Practice. We're going to figure that out, how to move forward and do that, because Private Practice started, there wasn't a Private Practice. This aired in May, and then the next season picked up in September, and then that Private Practice started in September. So this aired in May, and then the first season of Private Practice started in September congruently with Grey's. So that's what happened. I love it. It's a good show. I like it. I love Addison. Her eyebrows are incredible.
Yes. And her face, and basically everything else.
So true. So true.
What were the predictions specifically that you want me to make?
You said that Izzy was going to drunkenly confess to Callie. Do you stand by that?
Yeah. That's going to be my official guess. I don't know if that's really going to happen, but that's my guess.
Okay, and what about what happens with George and Izzy then?
I think that George is going to try to make it work with Izzy a little bit, but they're not going to end up together. But I think it would be really stupid of anyone to cheat on their wife, husband, or fiance, and then not at least try to make it work in a relationship with the person they cheat on them with, you know? So
I do know that.
It's going to be interesting. And I think George he's so determined to not be a cheater that he's going to try to be with Izzy.
Yeah. Cause he wants some to capacity. Like validate what this thing that he's done basically is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Burke and Christina, what the fuck?
I think Christina's finally going to decide that she wants all of this wedding stuff. And then Burke is, I think I said Burke leaves her at the altar. I don't think Burke
you
ends up.
You said Christina leaves Burke at the altar like seven
times. Well, I'm flipping it now. Burke leaves Christina at the altar.
Okay. When?
Wait, that doesn't make sense, because the guy goes up there first. he walks away. She walks up the aisle. The officiant goes, "Do you, Burke?" And he goes, "I don't." And then slowly walks away.
So, bye bye.
Yeah. And it's going to be like that scene in Pirates of the Caribbean where a boat is exploding around the guy and he's just walking up the aisle. Yeah, that's what happens.
And Derek and Meredith.
They're fine for now. Derek, I'm predicting that Derek does not get chief, And he blames Meredith for a while, but I think it's going to be, he blames Meredith because he's masking his blame for himself.
Okay. Yeah. Mark and Addison.
I still think they got a shot. I think they got a shot.
Okay. Alex in general.
I think him and Ava end up together, but only after she gets her teeth fixed.
You finally going down that train?
No, I think they're not going to end up together. There's no Denny Duquette situation on their hands, but I do think they're in a, I think the arc that, this has gone on way longer than I anticipated.
Yeah, she's there a while.
She's there a while, but she's going to end up getting Alex's backstory explained a little bit more, and I think we're going to learn a little bit more about Alex because of their friendship, but it's maybe something that he says in his backstory triggers Ava getting her memory back.
Okay, okay. What do you think her real name is?
Gwendolyn.
It's like, what if he guesses this right? You didn't.
Spoiler alert, it's not Gwendolyn. Give me the first letter. Give me the first letter.
No.
Oh, okay. There's millions of names.
I know. That's why it would be amazing if you guessed it right.
Let me just do a quick Google search.
Names.
No. What is Jane Doe from Grey's Academy? From Grey's Anatomy's real name?
Don't do it. Spoilers. Okay.
Spoilies.
So I think that's all I have to ask you about for predicciones. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode. We are recording this pre-Christmas, and we truly don't know what our schedules are post-Christmas yet. So there might be a regular episode. There might be just a little prediction episode. We're not for positive yet. We'll keep you updated. We'll figure something out. We will not leave you in the dark. But we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a moment to leave a rating or review, we'd really appreciate it. Share with your friends. If there's anyone who, like, you forgot to get them a Christmas present, just like send them a link to this podcast and be like, here's your Christmas present. I think you'll enjoy this podcast. Yay. And then you're also giving a Christmas present to us, which we really appreciate.
And if you want to give us a different Christmas present, make sure to, like, you know, write out a whole review on Apple Podcasts, or make sure on Spotify or wherever else you listen, you hit that 5-star button. And we love it. We have a 4.9 rating on Spotify, which means it's been all 5-star reviews except for like one person who's like, 4 is fine.
Also, you can find the link to our Patreon in our episode description or on our link tree in our Instagram bio. We do have content on Patreon up already, and we are planning more once the holiday season settles down and we can kind of get our shit together to do more.
So we just that added is a How to Get Away with Murder episode, right?
Like a 30-minute one. Yeah, that went up yesterday. Yeah. So that's available as well. And we have more How to Get Away with Murder Patreon content in the works as well. So that's it. Thank you guys so much. We hope you have a wonderful holiday season. When you are caroling door to door, if you get to Carmen's door...
No spoilies, but definitely sing to me. I love it. And maybe I'll sing with you because I am I am a musician myself. And if you want to sing the Ocean Avenue song, we can sing it together. So thank you all. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. And we will see you all in the next one.